to the fourth gospel this morning, Gospel according to John, and to the 10th chapter. As I read the first 18 verses, I invite you to follow along as we consider the theme, the Good Shepherd and His Sheep. John chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 1. These are the words of Jesus, the inspired word of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling. He is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down of my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. This passage describes the eschatological shepherd and the eschatological sheepfold. I begin with this eschatological description so as to alert you to the central issue in the drama behind Jesus' discourse. A man born blind. A man born blind has been given his sight by the miraculous touch of Jesus in the previous chapter of this gospel, John 9. That man's identification with Christ by way of defending Jesus before the Pharisees leads to his excommunication from the synagogue, the sheep ejected from the fold. But Jesus finds his sheep, the former blind man, assures him that he is his Lord, receives his adoration and confession, and declares that the great reversal has occurred in him. The blind have the doors of their eyes opened by the Son of God and are admitted to a better sheepfold. The shift, which is dramatized by the healing of the man born blind in John chapter 9, is expanded, reinforced, and enriched in John chapter 10. You cannot separate chapter 9 from chapter 10 of John's gospel. The eschatological shepherd wonderfully, marvelously opens the door to the eschatological sheepfold, opens that door to you and to me and to all who hear his eye-opening, door-opening, life-giving summons. The good shepherd is yours, you who have been saved by him, you who have been loved by him, you who have been made alive by him, you who know how passionately you who know he laid down his life for you. Do you see from this text that he calls you his own? You belong to him, even as he calls the Father his own. So he calls you, sinner that you are, he calls you his own lamb. Do you see from this text that he knows you? He knows you as his very own, even as he knows the Father. So he knows you more intimately than ever a husband knows his wife, or a wife knows her husband. Jesus knows you, sinner that you are, knows you as his own lamb. You must come into the text. Must come into the fold of the sheep of the Good Shepherd. You must not stand afar off, looking on from the outside. Come into the pasture of the Shepherd and rest in him. Come into his green pastures, this great Shepherd of the sheep. Come into his green pastures and eat and drink and lay yourself down. Lay yourself down at his feet. He will take you up in his arms, this shepherd of Israel. He will take you up in his arms and he will carry you. He will carry you and feed you. He will feed you living water and living bread. Then he will do for you what no other shepherd has done nor could do. He will die for you. This shepherd will die for his lambs. But wonder of wonder, he will be raised from the dead for you, taking up his life from the dead for you. Did this shepherd of the sheep lay down his life for you? Oh, yes, but what is more, he laid down his life over you. He covered you with his life so that your life was hidden in his. The shepherd covers his lambs with his life, hides their lives in his very own, so that when death strikes, so that when the thief kills, so that when the hireling destroys, the superabundance of the Good Shepherd's life translates death into what is in the shepherd himself, life everlasting. Translates destruction into what is in the shepherd himself, eternal life. Has not the Good Shepherd of the sheep been raised up from the dead to show, to reveal to you, to declare to you that your resurrection life is assured, abundantly assured in him? Your inheritance is here in Christ in this text. Your salvation is here in Christ in this text. Your life is here in Christ in this text. You are here. Dear precious lambs of Christ, you are here in John 10. 10, you are the eschatological sheepfold of the eschatological shepherd. And that means that your identification with this text, your identification with the lambs of the sheepfold, your identification with the shepherd, your identification places you at the center of the great transition. Now, the transition in our text, the great shift which is revealed in John 10, is the transition from the era of the false shepherds of Israel to the era of the true and eschatological shepherd of Israel, Jesus Christ. You are in no other era of transition, no other era of transition than the era Jesus brings here. This speech of Jesus in John 10 is 2,000 years old, but you are not separated by two millennia from the drama, the meaning, the transition revealed by this speech. The flock of God is no longer the Israel of Judaism, presided over by scribes and Pharisees, the false shepherds of the people of God. The flock of God is the lambs of Christ, the true shepherd of Israel. His word, his voice, his life laid down and taken up again, this is the era to which you belong, the very same era declared by our text. It is therefore not for you to extract from this text spiritual lessons for your daily life. It is rather for you to immerse yourself in the text whose center is the life of the Good Shepherd, the life of Christ. It is not for spiritual and practical applications to be drawn from John 10 and imposed upon you. It is for you to be swallowed up in John 10, your life in this passage, because your life is in the true shepherd of this passage. There can be no disjunction between you and the text. I could never have enough time to detail the character of the false shepherds whom the true shepherd displaces and replaces. But you will notice that Jesus calls these false shepherds thieves, robbers, hirelings, and cowards. The corruption of the religious leaders of Israel in Jesus' day is vividly described by the vocabulary of our Lord in this chapter. But this phase in the history of redemption is but the final phase in a long history of defection among the shepherds of Israel. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord, Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe, shepherds of Israel, I am against the shepherds, and I shall demand my sheep from them. Ezekiel 34, verse 10. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. Zechariah 11, verse 7. These miserable shepherds of Israel are no more. Christ has replaced and displaced them. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. I am come that they might have life. With the coming of Christ, there can be no return to the false shepherds, no going back to thieves and robbers and cowards. With the coming of Christ, the true shepherd of the sheep, the old is gone behind us, over and done. The new is here, both present and in front of us, unfinished until we see him as he is. The era of the good and true shepherd is your era. It is the era revealed to you by our text. There is no going back. There is no going back to an era of shepherds who are not Christ-centered. You cannot go back. To someone other than Christ? Surely you cannot go back to that. To a pasture other than Christ's pasture? Surely you cannot go back to that. To shepherds not truly concerned with the sheep? Surely you cannot go back to that. You cannot go back. You must go forward in Christ and in participation with the character of the shepherd and sheep, which he displays here in John 10. Now I want to take a few moments to draw out this wonderful union and identification of the shepherd and the sheep in the good shepherd. The union of shepherd and sheep in the good shepherd. I take you back to the beginning of this sermon when I said the eschatological shepherd and the eschatological sheepfold. This eschatological shepherd is characterized by his accessibility and availability, his humility, his self-denial, his love and affection for his flock. And the sheep of this eschatological sheepfold are characterized by following the shepherd, knowing the shepherd, loving the shepherd. His accessibility and availability induces the sheep to follow him. His humility induces the sheep to know him. His love for his sheep draws them to love him. The relationship between the eschatological shepherd and his eschatological sheepfold is a harmonious, reciprocal union. The shepherd drawing the sheep to himself, the sheep drawing near to the shepherd. Should it be any other way? Should it be any other way for Christ and his flock? Should it be any other way than sweet, harmonious union between the eschatological shepherd and his lambs? Not according to John 10. It's in the text. Read the book. If our understanding of God's design for pastor and flock, for shepherd and sheep, if our understanding of God's design is grounded in the Word of God, then it is rooted in John chapter 10, and it is grounded in the union of Christ with his sheep and the union of Christ's sheep with him. So you are driven to the Word of God. You are driven to John 10 for the pattern of your relationship to one another as pastor and flock. You are driven to Christ and his sheep as the model of your relationship to one another as pastor and flock. The profound union between Christ and his sheep is reflected in the sweet spiritual union between you, members of Sovereign Grace Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and your pastor. The paradigm of your pastor-flock relationship is not derived from some Seattle corporation. The model of your pastor-flock relationship is not the pattern of some CEO and his or her employees. The paradigm of your pastor-flock relationship is not the social pyramid, the boss at the top, and all the aspiring bosses trying to work their way up the ladder to the top. The paradigm of your pastor-flock relationship is not the political power broker, the deep pockets tyrant who calls the shots because he controls the purse strings. No. No, 1,000 times no. The paradigm of your pastor-flock relationship is Jesus and his lambs as described in John 10. A pastor conformed to the image of the eschatological pastor, because the Latin word for shepherd is pastor. Jesus, the good pastor. Jesus, the eschatological pastor. Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep. A pastor accessible and available because he directs you to the door. Christ, the door of the sheepfold. A pastor accessible and available is a pastor who leads his flock to Christ, and in Christ his lambs find salvation, green pasture, liberty to go in and out of the gates of heaven. Because the pastor conformed to the eschatological pastor is accessible and available, directing always to Christ, so you gladly follow. You follow to and through the open door of salvation in Christ, pleasant pastures in Christ, going in and out at liberty in Christ. Your precious relationship of union with Christ, sweet heavenly union with Christ, your precious relationship of union with Christ opens the door to a sweet relationship with your Christ-centered pastor. How you refresh one another in Christ Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters of Sovereign Grace, do you see what a precious relationship God has given you and your pastor? It is a relationship patterned on the sweet, precious union between Christ and his sheep. Can you ever consider your pastor a thief, a robber, a destroyer? Surely not, no more than you could consider Christ the Good Shepherd a thief, a robber, or a destroyer. Or could your pastor Rob ever consider you lambs of Jesus, as wolves? Wolves in sheep's clothing? Surely not. No more than one could consider the eschatological flock of Christ wolves. Wolves in sheep's clothing. A pastor conformed to the image of the eschatological pastor, Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, is a pastor humbled by self-denial, not self-centered but Christ-centered, not proud and puffed up but lowly and humble. Pastor shaped, pressed down, poured out into the measure of the humble eschatological pastor is a pastor easy to get to know, unpretentious, uninterested in reputation, a servant. That is virtually unheard of in a 21st century church. Virtually impossible to find a servant pastor. Most of them are tyrants. Christ's lowly pastor draws you to humility, self-denial, Christ-centeredness. This humble union between pastor and flock is a mirror of heaven. It is a reflection of the mutual humility and condescension of those seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There are no big shots. There are no big pastor shots standing in front of the throne of grace in heaven. None. They're all groveling before the throne of grace, their face to the ground, like the cherubim and the seraphim. Together, you are united before the face of God in humility, self-denial, and servanthood, because you are united to the eschatological pastor as his eschatological flock. But I want to close with love. I want to conclude with the love of the pastor for the flock and the love of the flock for the pastor. If I have enabled you to see anything this morning, I pray, God, is that you are seen as identified with John 10. You see your life hidden in Christ in the text. You are participants in the drama revealed by the Good Shepherd discourse. You have been drawn into the flock of Jesus through his wonderful salvation. Sheep who were weak and helpless and ready to die, yea, weak and helpless and ready to die. And Jesus saved you. And why? Why did the eschatological shepherd save you? Because he loved you. So great a love did he have for you that he laid down his life on a bloody cross for you. And the lambs of Christ, you love him. You love him because he first loved you. You love him, love his life, love his death, love his resurrection. You love this good shepherd because he sought you, he found you, and he has brought you home to his Father in heaven. And that deep, deep love for Christ in you has transformed your mind and heart and attitude to love the pastor whom the chief shepherd has given you. Do you see? Do you see? Your love, your sweet, genuine love for your pastor comes from the love, the sweet, genuine love you have for the eschatological pastor. Your love for the shepherd is derived from the shepherd's love for you. Heaven's pastoral love floods your soul in love for your pastor. That's what it means to live in the text of John 10. And your pastor, his heart overflows with heaven's love to you. He sees you as Christ's lambs, whom Jesus loved enough to die for. Your pastor's soul is filled up with heaven's love for you. He sees you as the possession of the good shepherd. Out of his great love for the shepherd of the sheep, he loves Christ's own. Your pastor loves the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your pastor loves the Son of the Father whom he has sent into the world to lay down his life for his sheep. And because your pastor loves the Father and his Son Jesus Christ, he loves you, the lambs of heaven. He loves you even as you love him, even as you both pastor and flock love Jesus, the eschatological good shepherd. I leave you identified with a great transition. You were blind. Now you see. You were once gone astray. Now you go in and out, to and fro, by the door. You were once deaf to his voice. Now you love the sound of your Savior's voice, and you eagerly hearken to his cry. You were once cast out, alienated from the Father's presence. Now you have been brought near, placed before your heavenly Father's face. You were once sheep without a shepherd. Now you have a shepherd who will never let you go. You were once without a pastor, Once without a pastor identified with the eschatological pastor, now your pastor has been united to heaven's pastor and shepherd together. You are once self-centered, but now, yes, now you and your pastor have become Christ-centered. I am the good shepherd. My sheep shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, one sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life and I take it up again, that in me, pastor and sheep may be united to my death and to my resurrection, that in me they, pastor and sheep, may be one. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit speaketh unto the church. Let us pray. Our Father, you have pastored us as no one could, but you have set pastors over us who have been conformed to the image of the great shepherd of the sheep. Gracious Lord, what a sweet privilege, what a delight to relate to one another, to relate to pastor and flock, to relate as Jesus himself relates to his lambs. Great God, our Father, God and Father of Jesus Christ, Shepherd of the sheep, let us love the Good Shepherd. Let us love our shepherd. Let us love one another and bask in the sweet riches of being united to the sheepfold of heaven and to heaven's very own shepherd of the sheep. We pray in the name of the Good Shepherd himself. Amen.